Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? I've got a couple of scriptures this morning to read, and I'm going to parse them a little bit. But the first one is from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, the 4th through the 9th verses, and then the second scripture is from the Gospel of John, 14 to 21. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around to Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by the snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. John 3. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The verdict is this: light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light. Everyone who does evil hates light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
This is a song about... Well, the title says it all. I can't figure it out. Why did that girl in high school go and treat me so wrong? Why did the coach call a run play on third and long? When I started so late, if I'd known it'd take this long, I can't figure it out. Why does my boss think he'll get somewhere acting like a jerk? Why did I order pizza when a salad would have worked? Why does buying a new guitar make my wife go so berserk? I can't figure it out. 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 It makes me want to scream and it makes me want to shout. I can't figure it out. Why do those folks in Washington sit around in the screen when there's people out there hurting in this land of the free? If we keep on re-electing them, just you wait and see. I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. Thank you. Why time and time again do we refuse to get along? Divided we are weaker, and together we are strong. It all just drives me crazy, think I'll go and write a song. Then I just figure it out. I can figure it out. I can figure it out. I can figure it out. Why does no one understand what this life is all about? I can figure it. I can figure it out.
I think I agree with Brother Doug this morning. I can't figure it out either. And I know many of you that heard the scripture were probably thinking to yourselves, I can't figure it out. All this stuff about snake bites and all of that. So I just want to say a little bit about that. And then I'm going to do just a brief meditation for us to hear, and maybe that will help us relay and relate the scripture to our everyday lives. What is it? It's guilt on a stick. Shame impaled on a stake and held up for the afflicted to see. And according to today's strange little story from the book of Numbers, it has curative powers. The serpent on a stick held up by Moses in the wilderness has the power to stop the epidemic of poisonous snake bite that threatens to wipe out our entire group of wilderness wanderers before they ever reach the promised land. But in order for the cure to work, the afflicted ones had to take a long, hard look at what was killing them. Haul that thing up out of the grasses, dredge it up out of the darkness of denial, swing it up out of the shadows of shame and separation. Bring it into the light where you can look at it straight on. Look and live, says God through Moses. Come into the light, says God through Jesus. How many know that we've got some snakes in the grass right here in this time and place? How many know that there are some things that are killing us right now? We are living in a snake-bitten world. The venom has entered the bloodstream and we are sick nearly to death. Are we ready to admit that many of us struggle to find the will to get out of bed most mornings? We don't need to look so far as the rockets raining down this week in the Middle East or the U.S. drones blowing legs off of children. Right here at home, our children are dying, looking out at a world that is so unwelcoming to them that a gunshot takes the shape of mercy. We are dying, much as we try to deny it, much as we try to separate ourselves from the obviously sick ones, the obviously crazy ones, the ones who wear their afflictions on their sleeves. We are dying. As W.S. Merwin writes, there are wars and the police at the back door. The beatings on the stairs, the banks that use us, the crooks in office with the rich and fashionable, unchanged. The animals dying around us, our lost feelings. And the forest falling faster than the minutes of our lives. The venom has entered the bloodstream, and we are sick nearly to death. What are the snakes that are killing us? Can we talk about secret cravings, tortured fears, inherited traumas, internalized shame, crippling self-consciousness, and childhood wounds, and the hopeless sense of separateness? I don't know how these things manifest for you. I can only tell you how they show up for me. The sense sometimes at parties of being alien, of lurching around the edges of the gathering with all my awkwardness on display. The internalized oppression that places limits on my relationships with men and people who come from middle and owning classes. The desire to separate myself. to comfort myself with addictive substances and processes, even when it harms other people. Look and live. Tell the truth and live. We must face who we are, or else we die, says Bill Wilson of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Lenise, and I am an addict, a food addict. I know when you look at me, and I weighed on Monday, and I weigh about 111 pounds, you would think, how is that possible? But at 4'11", wearing a size 5.5 shoe, little bitty hands and little bitty feet and little bitty bone structure, I used to weigh 261 pounds. And I weighed above 200 for many, many years. And I've been maintaining this weight, somewhere between 109 and 112, since 2016. And I want to tell you a little bit about the truth, being able to tell the truth about myself and how that story and how the story of my life has made a difference. Just a meditation today. My name is Lenise and I am an addict. For at least 1 hour, three times a week, I sit in a room, now through Zoom, with people who are expected and supported to be about the business of new life. We are encouraged to name and address our issues, deeply personal, often shameful, and inescapably painful. But we speak frankly about our bents toward self-destructiveness, our egos and insecurities, our bottomless fears, our gaping holes, and our hollow regrets. We accept the risk of exposure, and we reveal who we are, knowing it ain't no picture postcard. And we keep coming back because there are so few places in the world where people agree to face and tell the truth about themselves, and where the truth activates healing, change, and liberation. Only the desperate are willing to come, day after day, week after week, to face and tell the truth about what is killing us, for the promise and witness of new life. What I am learning through the process of recovery is that I am used to being sympathized with for my failure to change. Oh, I use food as a drug all the time too. Isn't it awful? I am also used to being punished for my failure to change. And this somebody said to me one time, I wouldn't have a fat pastor. What I never seem to get used to is being supported in my bid for new life by someone who says, I am not here to condemn you. I love you madly, and I want you to experience the startling freedom of new life. You want to change? Do things differently? Great. I'll help you with that. Truth is, it is easier for me to receive sympathy or punishment from lots of people than to let one person working through community or community uphold me in the hard work of transformation. The promise and reality of new life are contained in the word salvation. The root word is solace or health. And Jesus intends to heal the whole creation. Jesus saves, but not apart from human collaboration. Jesus calls whole communities to engage in the work of repair and restoration, to join in the work of salvation, becoming love for the world. The love that heals, forgives, redeems, brings peace, generosity, justice, and joy, that is what salvation is. That is the only salvation on offer. These are all outbreaks of health in what we know as a sin-sick world. Jesus saves because Jesus shows us how to multiply such outbreaks and because he continues to be present in them. They are not simply good works or good luck. They are gifts which are so astounding that we can only call them grace. I have just a couple of reflection questions for you, and this is something for you to take home and to ponder through the week, and maybe some of this reflection will move you and start to make possible transformations that you never even believed were possible, like have come true in my own life. Our lesson text in the Gospel of John references a strange little story in the book of Numbers. The serpent on a stick, held up by Moses in the wilderness, has the power to stop the epidemic of poisonous snake bite that threatens to wipe out the entire group of wilderness wanderers. But in order for the cure to work, the afflicted ones had to take a long, hard look at what was killing them. I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase, a long, loving look at the real. What would it mean for us to take a long, loving look at the real? Have we ever experienced wholeness in and through brokenness? Who can we trust to support us in coming into the light and into new life? What in us tempts us to draw back from community and accountability? Amen.
I've been feeling out of sorts, like a train run off its tracks. Need to do the things I need to do to get my mojo back. I'm seeing a new therapist. We'll see how that works out. It's always good to talk to someone who knows what it's all about. I've got to start feeling a little more and thinking a little less. I got a ways to go, but I'll get there, I guess. It's time to clean out my closets. No telling what I'll find. And in my dreams, I'll rummage through the closets of my mind. What I need to do matters more to me than what I'm told I should. No one but me knows what does me the most good. And remember what's important, and don't worry about the rest. I got ways to go, but we'll get there, I guess. We all need a place where we can be ourselves, do the things we want, and don't leave them on a shelf. We've all been there before, and we'll all get there again. That place where our spirit flies and the music never ends. And start feeling a little more and thinking a little less. Got a ways to go, but I'll get there, I guess. And remember what's important, and don't worry about the rest. We got a ways to go, but I'll get there, I guess. Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers. Hear the prayers of this beautiful people, your waiting congregation, Covenant Church. We're so grateful to be able to be here this morning. We could be many, many places doing many other things, but we are gathered here. We are all together here now in this time and place. And we share gratitude for that. This beautiful people has come this morning with prayers. Some are praying for sons and daughters. Some need healing. Some need help with addiction. Some need help with mental health issues. We've come praying for friends and elders who are sick and people that are being affected and impacted by this pandemic. We continue to be. Others are concerned about their own health, needs to change things and get the motivation and the courage, the ability to change things in order to promote our own health. Others are asking for the capacity to reach up and to reach out, to be useful in service, to be useful in our communities, to be useful and helpful and loving in our families. Others have come praying for the denomination, for the session, where there are complex and complicated questions. God, we know that somebody's right is always somebody else's wrong. And we ask for the humility. We ask for the guidance. We ask for the wisdom. We ask for the quiet, the calm assurance of your presence and of your spirit. God, others have come lifting up concerns. We have so many concerns about the state in which we live, the existence of this nation and of our world. So much suffering, so much violence, so many threats to people and to planet. We need a reunion, an earth, human earth reunion and reconciliation. We need wisdom. We need faith. We need humility. We need balance. We need all of these things and the ways to reach out and show love, not as a noun, but as a verb. Help us to live our lives collectively as people who love and people who live love by through justice. Help us to commit even to small acts of humble service that will lift up people in our midst, that will change us and impact us for good. We ask for prayers, God. We ask for the blessings for prayers of people all over the world, people individually and collectively, nation by nation. We ask for prayers in our own government, for the ability to hear what is the sound way and to do it. We ask that people would be restored to faith. We don't mean faith in a particular thing. We're not imposing or proselytizing or demanding that anyone be us or believe exactly what we believe. But help us to believe that we are a part of a narrative that is bigger than us, grander than us, that is wanting to help our collective selves to be better, to be generative and transformative in the world. God, where your face is smudged by people dancing around the fires of religion, help us to brush your face off so that people can see the glory of God in our midst, can see what you really look like on this planet. I ask that you would bless this church. I ask that you would bless this pastor. I ask that you would bless the families of those that are gathered here. Give them hope and give them encouragement. Give them life anew. I thank you for the opportunity to be your witness, to preach your word. I thank you for their hospitality and their generosity and their reaching out. We pray these blessings in the name of all that is good, in the name of all that is mighty and holy. and full of truth. Amen.